Dr. F.A.C. Oles, real 8. Dr. Oles, did you have to surrender your pass before you left Raffles Hotel?
I must have had to.
You mentioned that after this you took up a job with the SRC as a dental assistant. When did you take up this job? The period?
This must have been, say, the second half of 1943. I got it through my father-in-law, who was attached there as a medical officer. I had to work with a young Japanese dentist called Dr. Sato, who was a bit of an eccentric, though quite a kind person. At least he was kind to me. My work originally was to help him, hand him over the instruments, mix cements for him, amalgams, and but he did have his nurses. And later on, when work became too heavy for me, he asked me to take over some of the work. And I was then a sub. I was not yet a clinical student. I hadn't really worked on any human beings other than dummies. And so it was with a great degree of trepidation that I took on my first patients. Goodness knows if the patients knew that I hadn't been working on human beings before, they'd have been more scared than I. But this is my first contact with clinical dentistry. And I was given simple things to do. And generally, I suppose I got away with it. I did get into a mess once or twice. I know he had to extricate me from it. But looking back to what I did, if I were a student, I'd fail myself, you know. If I was a lecturer then, at that time, anybody, if any found any of my students doing what I did, would get put back by me. It was well. It is something that more what I wanted to do. Well, I was wanting to become a dentist, and here was an opportunity to display, to practice dentistry. And they were Japanese personnel, civilians. It was altogether quite pleasant there, really, because as I say, Sato was, though eccentric, was a pleasant person. The nurses were very pleasant and cheerful. A few doctors were there. My father-in-law was around, it was quite nice. Location was good, look out in the harbor, but of course, see all the sunken ships, it wasn't a very pleasant sight. By that time, the Esplanade was already filled up again. I mean, it was full of trenches in the beginning. It is a pleasant view. The work there was not too demanding. There's no propaganda, no things like that. And I stayed there quite happily until I left for Bahau.
For this job, did you have to go for any interview?
Yes, I had to go and see Sato, the dentist. But I think it was all prearranged. I was given the job before, above his head, again through my father-in-law's connections, like Mr. Naito and one or two others.
Do you remember what kind of questions did he ask you during the interview?
Oh, he asked me, if I was a dental student. I said yes, and I didn't. I was quite truthful. I hadn't done any clinical dentistry. That's why in the beginning he didn't let me do any clinical work. It's only towards the end when he was so fully occupied and He was a chap who didn't like hard work. So for any excuse, he would pass off a patient to me. I was happy to receive that patient. Not a great degree of formality in my obtaining this job.
When did you get your pass for this job?
Oh, I should imagine soon after I reported for duty.
Where did you get the pass from?
Handed to me.
Did you have to report to any of the Japanese official regarding your change of job?
No.
At the time when you decided to leave Raffles Hotel for this job, did you know what was in store for you? What kind of work you were going to do?
All I know that I was going to be attached to a dental clinic as an assistant to the dental officer, and I thought I was going to be purely like an assistant, mixing, handing instruments, boiling instruments, and mixing the cements and the amalgams and so on. I didn't, when I joined, I didn't expect to be allowed to do clinical work. I was happy when I was able to.
Did this clinic occupy the whole of SRC?
The whole of the SRC, yes. And the dental clinic was where the billiard room was and still is, I think. That is, if you're facing the SRC from the Esplanade, it's on the left-hand side, on the St. Andrew's Cathedral side of the building.
Besides the dental clinic, what were the other clinics?
Outpatient clinics, medical clinics.
Was there a name for this outpatient clinic?
No, there must have been a name, but the actual name escapes me now.
Do you have any idea when did this clinic at SRC start functioning?
Actually, it really did, must have functioned, as I say, when I joined it. Soon after, just before I joined it, it was opened up.
Did you know whose idea and why was it started?
No, I don't. I really don't. But as I said, it's mentioned in my father-in-law's book. How it got about, I don't know.
Was it strictly for Japanese civilians?
Yes.
Who were the people who usually... Who were these Japanese civilians?
Well, the officers from the municipality, all the government officers, they are the people.
Any women or children?
Their families.
Besides Dr. Sato and your father-in-law, how many other doctors were there?
Not too many, but two or three only.
What kind of doctors were they?
Japanese. The others were Japanese. And the nurses were Japanese.
Were they dental doctors or...?
No, medical doctors. The only dentist was Sato. He was the only one.
Who was in charge of the whole clinic?
So it was a Japanese doctor.
Did you know how it was run?
Administration-wise, I cannot tell you who looked after it, who administered it, who were the authorities, who provided the funds, etc. I cannot tell you that. I don't know.
Did the patients have to pay for seeing the doctors?
I don't think so. No.
What were your working hours like in this?
Reasonable hours. Usual morning hours from about 8:30 Singapore time, I don't know what time, it was Tokyo time, till about 5, half past 5 in the evening. Lunch hour, lunch provided.
Any extra rations given?
No, just a salary, small salary.
Do you remember how much?
About the same figure in the 40s, $50 bracket a month.
Do you remember how you collected your pay?
It was handed to me in an envelope.
Cash?
Cash.
Did you have to pay tax for this?
Not that I can remember, no.
Was it enough to support your...
No. Oh, of course not, no. It was more of an opportunity to work, but certainly we could not depend on that for my livelihood. I was, again, all this time supplementing my income with proceeds from sales of my tooth powder.
How was your relationship with Dr. Sato?
Very good. Very good. I mean, you know, not in a very friendly way, but, you know, he was a man who... it was a young man, rather serious-minded, no sense of humor whatsoever. I mean, the fact that I showed interest and enthusiasm in my work pleased him. And he was friendly enough to come to visit us at our home once in a while. But he was the sort of chap who'd sit and not be jovial and talk, and a serious-minded person. Very eccentric in the sense that, you know, he would never use his hands for anything. To him, they were sterile. He'd open a door with his elbow. He'd go to a shop, I'd go shopping with him sometimes, and he'd carry in his pocket chopsticks. And instead of handling articles that he used to buy with his hand, with his fingers, he'd use his chopsticks, and in that way he was eccentric. And he used to, every time he washed his hand, he soaked it in a very strong solution of Lysol, which made his skin all shiny. And I'm pretty sure that man must have developed cancer of his hands because of this irritation caused by the Lysol at some date or other. He was peculiar in that way.
How good a dentist was he at that time? Do you have any idea?
Oh, well, he was an ordinary dentist. I mean, you know, looking back now, having been a professor of dentistry here, looking back, I would say he was a very mediocre type of dentist. He didn't practice the modern, dentistry, which was then practiced up to the level of Western dentistry. Japanese dentistry was a bit lower in standard.
At that time, did you learn anything from him?
Oh, yes. I mean, the fact that I was able to put my hands into a mouth and drill cavities, remove decay, and smack an amalgam, and, you know, pull, extract teeth. That was all very valuable experience for me. Doing the right thing was valuable experience. Doing the wrong things and knowing that they were wrong was even more valuable experience, and I had to get away with it.
Were there any unpleasant incidents that happened?
With my patients? No. No. I remember one incident in which, in my complete inexperience, I should never have done. I remember it was a case of a huge cavity in a tooth, enormous cavity. The tooth should definitely have come out, but the Japanese want to save teeth. So I was gaily drilling this cavity, and pop, I went right into the bone underneath the tooth, right through the tooth into the underlying bone. So blood was welling out, so I called Sato. So I said, look, what's happened? I had drilled right through the tooth into the bone. Oh, he just put in some iodine, iodoform, cement. amalgam and send the patient home with some aspirin. You know, that sort of a thing. That was the thing that I did, and I always shudder when I think of what I did. But the patient was none the worse. He must have come back later on to have the tooth out. I can't remember, but he... But outside of that, no. It was quite a pleasant stay. I tell you, you know, from the beginnings of the occupation, the uncertainties, the frights that we used to have, this was quite a nice, pleasant sojourn. I had a feeling of security there.
When you were dealing with your patients, did you have any assistance?
Oh yeah, there were nurses who would come along and mix the medication, amalgam, cements for me. Japanese girls.
What about the doctor? Would he be supervising?
No, he wouldn't be supervising at all. It was Sato who was the dentist. Sato would report to him. You know, but he minded his business and he didn't interfere with us.
What about Dr. Sato himself? Would he come over and look at what you were doing?
Occasionally he'd peer over my shoulder.
Were both of you in the same room?
In the same room.
How did these Japanese patients regard you as their doctor?
Sensei, they call me sensei, they call me doctor. Isha-san, you know, whatever it was, the Japanese term was for a dentist. Hai-isha-san. And they respected me. Of course, anybody who's going to a dentist must respect that dentist. Show some respect anyway.
Did they ever make fuss as to that? Did they ever make any fuss that they wanted the Japanese dentist instead?
No, I can't recall any. Who did make that fuss? No, I can't recall. Of course, Sato used to pass me all the underlings, you know. He would treat all the important personnel. He wouldn't trust me with them. Of course, I wouldn't trust myself. And at that time, I was treating the underlings. And if Sato said I was to treat them, who were they to say no?
Do you remember what kind of instruments you used during that time?
They were pretty good sets of instruments. But I was using foot drill. No electric drills. Foot drills. But I was used to using a foot drill because that's what I was learning to do all my mannequin work, all the work on dummies at the dental school with a foot drill. And right through the occupation I was using a foot drill.
Were there enough instruments in this clinic?
Yes, there were ample instruments. I mean, for our purpose, for my purpose, I suppose for Sato's purpose, certainly would not be enough instruments for my kind of work now. Basic instruments they were. And things like anesthetics, local anesthetics, syringes, needles. Yes, there was enough of that.
Did you know where they get this supply from?
Japan.
How many patients in a day?
There would be a steady stream of patients.
If there were any major cases, would the clinic treat them, or would they be sent to a hospital?
Well, all the cases that were... I mean, I think Sato and I coped with pretty well all the cases. I mean, there were no such cases like fractured jaws that were ever walked in. I mean, they were honest-to-goodness toothaches, cavities to be filled, teeth to be extracted, dentures to be made. Oh, that was good in making dentures. That was one part of clinical dentistry which I had already had practice in, making dentures. We started that early in the school. And in fact, I made so many dentures for the survivors of the Prince of Wales and Repulse when they came in for treatment. The survivors had lost their dentures. This, I was doing dentures as well.
there were sufficient equipment for making the dentures yourself?
Yes.
All in all, did you remember how long did you stay in this clinic?
It couldn't have been long because it was in January of 1944 that I went to Bahau, or soon after January, February 44.
How would you say of your days, of your experience in this clinic?
Sorry?
Having gone through it, how did you find your experience in this field? Did it help you?
Oh, indeed. It did help. And because of my, because of this experience that I gained in the at the SRC, at this dental clinic, I was able to carry on practicing dentistry on my own in Bahau, in the settlement. I was the official dentist of the settlement. I could never have done that had I not taken on this job at the SRC.
When you left the place, how did you inform Dr. Sato?
Oh, I just said I was going to Bahau.
Well,
he was sorry. I remember that. Because he developed a liking for me. You know, I could see that, you know, because there was a sort of comradeship, you know, in work, a colleague, relationship. But I had to go.
What about the doctor who was overall in charge of the clinic?
I don't think he had any say in it at all. When I was talking to you about the Kulin tooth powder and toothpaste which I manufactured, I forgot to mention one thing, that precisely when it was, I don't know, and how it got about, I cannot remember. But that I was approached by this Japanese departmental store of Matsuzakaya to manufacture the powder for them for a fee. I was beginning to find difficulty in getting the ingredients for it. They were running out of stock. The supply was short. And so I could not produce as much as the demand. But then I could have gone into the black market, produced some, and released whatever I could produce in the black market. But my father-in-law forbade me from doing this because it was dangerous practice. Little did I know that at that time the Japanese themselves were participating in black market deals. However, so I did negotiate with Matsuzakaya, who were then at Robinson's, to manufacture Kulin tooth powder for them, but for a fee. It was negotiated. How much I got, I don't know. But I think it was a fairly acceptable amount then. But what the arrangement was this. They would provide all the ingredients, and they would set up a factory, call it a factory, which turned out to be a room in a house in Tomlinson Road. I think it was the house which used to be the Children's Aid Society home before the war. And they provided a few workers, and my role was to go there every morning, cycle there, weigh out all the ingredients, make the mixture, all the parts of the formula, and then supply all these ingredients to the workers to mix and to pack. Now, this went on all the time because I had the rights, the formula, which I did not surrender. But when the time came for me to leave for Bahao, I had to surrender the formula, but I did not give them the very accurate formula, so whatever they turned out was not the same as the ones that I produced myself.
What kind of company was this?
Matsuzaka, it's a big department store. It's still in, it's, I mean, it was before the war, a large department store in Japan. During the war, it still functioned, came to Singapore as a branch, and took over Robinson's. And it's still a big department store in Japan today.
Do you remember who approached you?
It was one of the officers. I can recall his face, you know, but I cannot recall his name. It was hard bargaining. And here I was prepared to bargain here because they wanted it. It was a very popular putus powder.
Oh, what officer?
Well, one of their general manager or somebody.
How did they know about your product?
Well, it was on the market, and they knew that it was very popular. They knew it sold well. But my problem was I couldn't produce as much, I could not meet the demand.
Do you know
how? See, there were so many things. Not only were the ingredients, it was the containers that was difficult to get. Labels, not so difficult. The containers. Sorry, you can ask me something.
Did you know how they found out that you were the one responsible for that?
I suppose they must have gone to one of the department stores selling it and asking them who provided it. Because I used to go personally and deliver. I was with the salesman. I told you, recorded the little trick that I played of how I got the biggest department store then in Singapore, Aurora's, to stock it.
Were you the only person in charge of the factory that they set up?
Yes.
How many workers were there?
Oh, half a dozen.
Any of their own personnel who
Japanese,
were working there?
No. I don't remember what the rest of the building was used for, but we had the ground floor.
The workers were all Japanese?
No, Chinese.